Jimmy Fallon explained the second person to get the coronavirus vaccine in the UK was an 81-year-old man named William Shakespeare. That's the guy's actual name. Yeah, William Shakespeare got a vaccine on V-Day, which explains why he said to V or not to V, that is the injection. That's borderline hack, but I am laughing at it, so I will allow it. James Corden said, this is the British version of Michael B. Jordan. That is really funny. Colbert, William Shakespeare, this can't be a mistake. They had to have done that for PR because that's the most English name an English person could have next to Lady Margaret Cadbury, Egg Thatcher, Buckingham, Paddington, Shear on Avon. Fallon said, I don't know what's in the vaccine, but it must be pretty amazing because after Shakespeare got it, he challenged Logan Paul to a boxing match. Kimmel, welcome back to life, Bill. Maybe we'll finally get a sequel to Macbeth. And Seth said he was a real drama queen about getting it and then did a Shakespeare impression. Is this a dagger which I see before me? The handle toward my hand? Ricky Gervais spoke to The Express and said his late parents didn't get to enjoy his success. Gervais is estimated to be worth $130 million after a series of hit TV shows, including The Office, Derek, and Afterlife. So if Ricky's worth $130 million, how does Dennis Miller have $49 million for a house? I feel like Ricky would just be way richer than Dennis Miller, and you know, maybe $80 million is way richer. I'm not that rich. I don't know how to judge. Ricky explained that he hates being called a celebrity and that the word still embarrassed him because of his working class roots. He admits to being a, quote, famous person. Ricky told the Stuff of Legends podcast that he never forgot where he came from despite his huge success. He said, I remember when I was sort of newly famous, you know, the check came through for the Office DVD. I remember it was like more than my dad used to earn in a year, and for a split second, it ruined it for me. I thought, ah, that's not why I did this. I got over it, because it's odd because you do go through all those things and look back. It's a working class thing. You look around, you go, I can't quite enjoy this. Vulture put out their top 10 list. They had some qualifiers saying it includes only hour-long specials that are dominated by one voice. So Dave Chappelle's 8:46 is not on the list. Neither is Colin Quinn's drive-in comedy specials. Here's their list. Quarter Life Crisis by Taylor Tomlinson. I've talked about this recently on the pod. I started watching it. It was perfectly fine. I got like 15 minutes in and I was, I was all right. But yeah, I guess that makes the list this year. Douglas by Hannah Gatsby. So I'm fascinated by this. I know everybody worshipped at the altar of Hannah Gatsby's first special, Nanette, but I think Douglas was better. Vulture says, although Douglas is looser, less consistent, and less full of righteous rage than its famous predecessor, Nanette, it's still about 10 degrees tighter than most hour-long specials. I just thought it was wonderful. I haven't released my list yet, but that one's going to be way up there. Time Machine by Leslie Jones. They say Jones is such a buoyant, compelling stage presence, and one of the most impressive things about Time Machine is the way she physically embodies leaps across time. All right, if you want to put on the list, I'm not going to throw rocks at you. I Love Everything by Patton Oswalt. It was okay. I mean, I think there are definitely better Patton Oswalt specials to be had or watched. And 2020 was a weird year, and we probably got less comedy specials, or fewer, to use better English. We got, to use more good English, we got fewer comedy specials in 2020 than in a normal year. So this probably makes it, but I don't know, if we were playing Desert Island Comedy Specials and you could take one Patton Oswalt special with you, I'm not taking that one. Miami Nights by Hannibal Buress. I love Hannibal. I hated the editing on this. I hated it, hated it, hated it, hated the editing. Drove me nuts. Too many fast cuts. Just show a guy on stage. You tried way too hard with this one. Love Hannibal Buress. Love Hannibal Buress comedy. Did not like that special. This next one on Vulture's top 10 comedy specials list for 2020, I feel like it's a lifetime achievement award. Kevin Hart's Zero F's Given. I didn't watch this one because the reviews were kind of like, eh. And I'm busy, man. Like, there's plenty to watch. I got like 9 streaming services. And don't forget, there are now 11 Star Wars movies, not to mention 700 hours of Star Trek. So if you tell me a comedy special is, I'm skipping it. So I'm not sure why this is on the list. I think Vulture didn't even really like the special. I'm skimming their review here, and I don't know. They said it feels like a real shift to see Kevin standing up on a tiny stage in his own living room in front of a very small, masked crowd. It's different than his previous specials in a really welcome, exciting way. Hart is looser and more vulnerable, a superstar bragging while wrestling with his need to brag. Still not selling me there. Maria Bamford's Weakness is the Brand makes Vulture's list. Maria's solid. Maria does what Maria does. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, you don't. No problem with that being on the list. I don't know this one at all. Yvonne Orji's Mama, I Made It. I somehow have hosted this show all year and have never heard of this. You guys can make fun of me in the schoolyard. You can tweet at me at DCNPod, at DCNPod, and be like, what kind of stupid host are you that you haven't heard of Yvonne Orji's Mama, I Made It? You suck. Hit the Facebook page, facebook.com/dailycomedynews, and say, how have you not heard of Yvonne Orji's Mama, I Made It? I have not. I do suck. I better read this. Vultra says, Orji has made an unbelievable dynamic stage presence. I hope I'm even pronouncing her name right. O-R-J-I. Orji? The kind of magnetism that would make it hard to look away, even if her material were less interesting, but her command on stage is supported by carefully wrought material, which means she comes off as both totally comfortable and absolutely meticulous. All right, well, okay. So, in Mama, I Made It, she demonstrates her skill with creating characters and the strongest material of the special, shifting seamlessly between voices. Orji, who is Nigerian-American, switches between characters from both cultures with perfect, deliberate control. Okay, that sounds cool. And her impressions always carry with them some sharp vein of commentary. That also sounds cool. Her mastery comes from her skills in observation and mimicry, as well as her awareness of the power of being fluent in many cultural contexts. All right, cool. They have that one at number three. I don't know how I missed it. Have you seen it? You haven't seen it. It might be the Bob's Burgers of comedy specials. Maybe this is a put-on. Maybe she doesn't exist. Nate's A One-Man Show by Natalie Palamides. I said this during the week. Stop listening to me right now and go watch this. It's on Netflix. I saw a lot of websites buzzing about it, unlike the Kevin Hart special. What I said before about Kevin Hart, this is the opposite. Kevin Hart special, people were like, eh, it's all right. So I didn't bother. This, everybody was like, yo, it's good. You got to watch. Yo, it's good. You got to watch. So I watched it, and now I'm part of the people going, yo, it's good. You got to watch it. I don't want to spoil it at all. I'm not going to say anything. I'm not even going to read the Vulture paragraph. You just have to trust me and everybody else. Nate's A One-Man Show. It's on Netflix. I don't want to say a word about it other than it's awesome. Go watch. And they have, as the top special of the year, End Times Fun by Marc Maron. Now, when that came out, I enjoyed it. And as I've been scribbling down on my little notepad, my top of 2020, I forgot it existed. So it was good, but it hasn't made an impact in my brain the way Nate has, the way Hannah Gadsby has, the way Sam J's special, not on this list yet, has, and 846 has. So Marc Maron, End Times Fun kind of came and went. Released in March, it's one of the only specials filmed before the pandemic that doesn't feel like it exists in a strange lost world, some unreachable, unimaginably lighthearted moment. That Maron was already living in a place of intense apocalyptic anxiety is the foundational idea of the special. I should go back and watch it and see if it's aged really well. I bet it has. Vulture mentioned some other specials. These are not in their top 10, but they mentioned 3 in the Morning by Sam J. That's going to be in my top 10. I highly recommend you watch that one. They included Horn Dog by Rose Bonifacio. I'm going to have to pay for HBO Max. I can watch that one. I am so cheap. I might actually do it. Stay at Home Comedian by Ted Alexandro. Great to see Ted getting some love. Fortune Feimster's Sweet and Salty. And you know what's not on this list? Interestingly enough, I thought she was the greatest comedian of all time. I thought the rankings were 1, Sarah Cooper, 2, Richard Pryor, 3, George Carlin. I thought Sarah Cooper saved comedy. I thought Sarah Cooper won the election for Joe Biden. Where's all the hype? It's not on your top 10, and you mentioned 5 more. So at best, Sarah Cooper's special was the 16th best of the year. I rest my case, everybody. I'm out.